I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
A military transport plane carrying 65 Ukrainian prisoners of war crashed. We're told all crew members and soldiers aboard the plane have died.
China's stock markets are reeling with $6 trillion wiped off the value of Chinese and Hong Kong stocks since their peak in February 2021.
What we saw tonight is America first defeating America last. That's what we saw tonight.
I want to congratulate Donald Trump on his victory tonight. He earned it. And I want to acknowledge that. This race is far from over. There are dozens of states left to go.
If you're the donor class that wants Trump gone, you tell her, thug it out for a few months. I'm going to put some more money in your bank account. Because if he gets convicted, you do want to have a candidate with enough delegates to go back.
This idea that this election's over, Nikki Haley, I know that's what the Biden campaign wants because they desperately want to match up with Donald Trump. He's got a month. While Trump is going crazy, she can work the ground.
We'll teach Donald Trump a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the women of America unless you want to get the benefit.
You know, we have to do what's good for our party. And she was up and I said, wow, she's doing like a speech like she won. She didn't win. She lost. And, you know, last week we had a little bit of a problem. And if you remember, Ron was very upset because she ran up and she pretended she won Iowa. And I looked around. I said, didn't she come in third? Yeah, she came in third. And then I looked at the polls. She was talking about most winnability. Who's going to win? We've won almost every single poll in the last 3 months against crooked Joe Biden. Almost every poll. And she doesn't win those polls.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily. We are live from Washington, D.C. Today is January 24th, 2024. Nikki Haley gave an incredible, an intense victory speech last night. She got up there, spoke about how proud she was to have competed and won in the New Hampshire primary. She defeated, of course, President Trump last night, a resounding victory of over 10 points, a huge 10-point margin, big setback for the former president, huge stepping stone here for the former UN ambassador. There's only one problem. Everything that she said up on that stage was a complete lie. But here's the deeper point. What Nikki Haley is doing is more than just lying, because she's not doing it by herself. This is part, and I said this last night, if you saw the live stream that we did here on X and Rumble and Real America's Voice and the great tech people that kept it going all through the night in massive numbers, what she did was part of a high-level media psyop, corporate media psyop, that's being run in conjunction with the backers of her campaign, the transfusion of Wall Street money and Silicon Valley money from the globalist cohorts. People like Reid Hoffman, a guy who's like George Soros Jr. over there, the piglet, as President Trump has called him, the piglet Reid Hoffman. He's got up and they put this entire strategy together. I call it the Hoffman plan, to bring Democrats into these undeclared independent voter rolls and then get them to cross lines and vote for her to artificially make it look as though her standing among independents and moderates was high. And now you all of a sudden see people participating in this by turning around and saying, oh, look at these numbers. Nikki Haley is the key. the key somehow to getting independence. Now, what do we hear from Fox News? What do we hear from Murdoch Media? They're saying, well, you're going to have Nikki Haley there on the ticket. You're going to have Nikki Haley in the administration. And what do these Never Trumpers see? The Never Trumpers see Nikki Haley as their way to getting back into a Trump administration, to subverting a Trump administration, and potentially, dare I say it, what Richard Barris says, the Richard Barris is warning that putting Nikki Haley on the ticket is the fastest way for the deep state to take out Trump. This is exactly what I warned all before Christmas, all throughout AmFest. Go back and watch. I asked Tucker Carlson. I asked Steve Bannon. The videos have gotten millions of views. Okay? We know what's going on. They want Nikki Haley in, and we must remain steadfast. Never Nikki. We are not falling for the gaslighting. We're not falling for the psyops. Sorry, Nikki. You, like Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig, are going down. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
In the hood, I rolled with bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily. Look, folks, we understand this. Traditional media is crumbling. Why? They're hiding something, something big. People are realizing they're being lied to left and right, even by institutions that they thought they could trust. But you've known the truth all along. You also know that the time to prepare for what's coming is right now. You can get started by going to mypatriotsupply.com. There you'll save $200 on an essential 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Over the years, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families prepare for emergencies. Yours should be next. Sealed inside, ultra-durable packing, their precious and delicious meals last up to 25 years in storage and provide over 2,000 calories daily. Eat right when things go wrong with these 3-month emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. With $200 in savings, you can get enough for each family member. They deserve your protection. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and order by 3 p.m. today for free same-day shipping. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Want to bring on now, we've got the great Peter Navarro joining us to respond to everything that we've said about Nikki Haley. And I've got some questions for him about China as well. Peter, how are you?
Yeah, my brother. Hey, look, first of all, I want to congratulate you on your show. I remember when it got started, I was happy to hear that you were going to do this. What's important now is between you and Charlie Kirk, Human Events is doing a great job. You are the ones who are going to carry us into the future. You know, guys like me and Bannon, we've been around a while. We do what we do, but you guys are the future, and you're fearless. And just keep doing what you're doing, brother, because it's only going to grow on Real America's Voice, which is awesome in and of itself. Hey, look, I enjoyed your comments about
Thank you, Peter. we yeah, learned from the best.
I enjoyed your comments about Nikki, and I call her Nikki because I actually knew her and worked with her in the White House, but worked with, I think, is a stretch. What I want to tell your audience is there's no way in hell Nikki Haley should ever be allowed back in a Trump administration, because the first time around, look, Donald John Trump saved Nikki Haley from political oblivion. She was going nowhere until she got her UN ambassadorship. She goes up to New York. She builds her own like rogue operation there. And she did what she wanted to do, not what Donald Trump wanted to do or what the American people wanted her to do. And she was a constant thorn in our side. And when she bailed out, quote, unexpectedly, she did it for the worst possible reason. She thought that Trump was going down and she didn't want to be going down with his sinking ship. Well, she's It's her ship that's sinking. And you are absolutely right, Jack. This is part, she is the useful idiot of Rupert Murdoch, the Koch network, and the globalist rhinos who basically want to stop Donald Trump. Option one is to beat him. Option two is to get her inside the White House on the ticket. Both of those dogs cannot and will not hang. I can tell you, Donald Trump knows better than anyone what a snake in the grass Nikki Haley is. I liken her to the Shakespearean character Cassius and Julius Caesar. You know, Cassius had a mean and hungry look, plotting to kill the king. Nikki's been doing that since her days in the White House. She needs to be put out to pasture. And I think if she ever serves in the Trump administration, it should be maybe ambassador to Rwanda. Just get her the hell out of here. Here's the thing, Jack. It's like, this is all planned, right? Going to New Hampshire, it's the worst possible place for Donald Trump to have to run, because 30% of the registered voters are Republican, but 40%, Jack, 40% are independents. They can vote in the Republican primary. And then the Democrats and the Koch network did a really aggressive job getting the Democrats to re-register as Republicans simply for the primary. And so that deck was as stacked against Donald Trump as good. He carried Republicans 3-1. Let me say that one more time. He carried Republicans 3-1. He crushed her. He crushed her. And she's going to try to pull a rabbit out of her hat in South Carolina because it's her home state. And that was part of the plot, right? Get the favorite daughter. She was hoping, the rhinos were hoping Tim Scott would still be in there taking votes away from Trump as well. But Scott's now endorsing Trump. Anyway, that's my Nikki Haley rant. But I don't like her because she can't be trusted, sir.
Well, of course she can't be trusted. And this is why you've got people like, as you say, the Koch network and Reid Hoffman. I call him the piglet up there. That's what President Trump labeled him as. It was in a Truth Social post. He said, this guy's the piglet. He's acting basically as George Soros Jr. He's throwing the money around. And remember, Jamie Dimon, this was very interesting. Before Jamie Dimon, so go back before Iowa, he started saying all these nice things about MAGA because Trump had just won. He's got his little Ukrainian flag lapel pin. Zelensky's there, and they're up at Davos. CNBC right on the set, at the World Economic Forum. What was he saying before? Right before that, Jamie Dimon was up at the New York Times summit, this agenda summit, telling everybody you really need to take a look at Nikki Haley. She's the one that we all need to get behind. That was where Jamie Dimon was. And so when I hear this guy who, and I have to say this every time we bring up Jamie Dimon, he was Jeffrey Epstein's banker, Jamie Dimon, who loves the Chinese Communist Party. We're going to talk about them in a second. When you hear that guy open his mouth, you understand he is the chairman of the crocodiles in the swamp.
Well, and let's not bury the lead here. The other thing about Jamie Dimon that is absolutely true is he wants to run for president probably in 2028. And strategically, you can see him already trying to begin to gravitate and ingratiate himself to MAGA folks. Yeah, I saw that thing with Joe Kernan. He's like, oh, Jamie Dimon, Trump had it right on the border. Trump had it right on China. This, that, and the other thing. It's like, we're not buying that crap, Jamie. You are just part of the Larry Fink, Steve Schwarzman, Jamie Dimon, the Koch network. These billionaires, Jack, they think they can insert themselves into politics after spending years sucking the blood of MAGA and blue-collar America, and then try to tell us that we got to have Nikki Haley on a ticket to basically run their banner out in the globalist world. No, ain't going to happen.
Look, this is what people need to understand, and we're going to talk about this in a minute here, but the destruction of the United States, the destruction of the middle class, the destruction of the American worker, the destruction of the Midwest, the destruction of the South, it has put the money in the pockets of people like Jamie Dimon, the globalist class, yes. The landed aristocracy. They've become the landed aristocracy. And when you go out to these places and you see these lines of people lined up at Trump events up in New Hampshire, when you see them lined up at Trump events in Iowa, these are the people that have been screwed over by the likes of Jamie Dimon and the Chinese Communist Party. Isn't that right?
They go to their own parties. They talk to each other. They don't dare go out into flyover country. Look, this is nothing new. I mean, we're going to talk about China today. Let's remember 2001. That was the darkest day in American economic history. December of 2001, when Communist China, to be clear, Communist China was allowed to enter the World Trade Organization and thereby have unfettered access to our markets under the rules of the WTO. They got into our markets, they broke every rule, and they destroyed over 50,000 factories, millions of American manufacturing jobs, and that was all done because Wall Street folks like Jamie Dimon and his predecessors like GE's Jeff Immelt lobbied a uniparty in Congress to do their bidding, and bidding it did, do it they did, and it's been a fight ever since. And the only reason why I wound up in the Trump administration, Jack, is because I was the guy in 2006 who wrote The Coming China Wars, 2011, the movie and book Death by China. And I'm warning that China is engaging in the worst kind of economic aggression, trying to destroy our country economically so that they can then destroy it militarily. Sun Tzu, take us without a shot. And Donald Trump was saying that even before I was. And that's what caught his eye about me. And that's when we got in there in the White House. I was honored to assist him doing things like putting tariffs on Communist China. And it's interesting that of the things that Joe Biden got away, took off, that Trump did, he hadn't taken off the China tariffs. And for good reason, because China is the biggest existential threat this country has ever faced. And it just seems to be getting exponentially worse under the fecklessness and weakness of Joe Biden.
Well, I think that's exactly been my analysis, something that, you know, you and I completely agree on. You know, I spent time living over in China, learning Mandarin, finding out how this operation worked.
You were over
and coming over and look, this is, you know, and we would sit there in Shanghai and I would see business leaders come over and I would see American politicians come over and governors, and they would say, wow, we love this Chinese system. We got to import this Chinese system to the United States. This is what they want. And this is what they've been trying to do through these forums like the World Economic Forum, the WHO and others, because they want us to be merged and joined at the hip. More with Peter Navarro talking about the CCP today, Human Events Daily.
You know, they talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here, Human Events Live. Look, folks, the world's in flames. Bidenomics. Complete total disaster, but it cannot and it will not ruin my day. You know why? It's because I start my day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. Blackout Coffee is 100% Americana. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Gotta say, Tanya Tay served me up a cup of piping hot Blackout Coffee this morning. We did the cinnamon blend. It was fantastic. I love you, sweetheart. And I love more than anything when you make me that Blackout Coffee in the morning. So go to blackoutcoffee.com/Poso and use promo code POSO20 for 20% off your first order. Check out all the ideas and gifts and gear that they have there as well. blackoutcoffee.com/Poso. Be awake, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/Poso. Promo code POSO20. All right, guys, I understand we were reconnecting with Peter there a second ago as we were talking about the Chinese Communist Party. I wanted to know if we were able to get Peter back up. We have Peter? Okay, we're still working.
1, 2, 3. Testing.
Peter.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, hear you just fine. How are you?
My brother.
Yeah, they were
good.
Gotta love the tech crew. No, they do a great job. We were up late last night. We were all working hard. It was election night. But Peter, when we're talking about the Chinese Communist Party, I want to see what they're up to as well, because there's something that I've noticed over the past couple of weeks, and that's it seems like every time there's good news for Donald Trump, the Chinese stock market crashes. I identified this first with the Iowa caucuses. So this huge drubbing that Ron DeSantis took in the Iowa caucuses, 30-point lead for President Trump. Boom. Chinese stock market crashes. Yeah. Then Ron DeSantis drops out of the race. Chinese stock market crashes again. Guess what happened last night when Trump won New Hampshire? Chinese stock market crashed again. Now, I understand that their stock market is having other issues, but it's very interesting to me that it seems like these things are connected. Now, a lot of people are saying that they've got liquidity issues right now, that people aren't going into their stock market, that a lot of the foreign capital is coming out, and in fact that the CCP, I saw this news this morning, is actually trying to ban people internally from investing in NASDAQ and American stocks because they want to try to force people to invest more in their stock market. What's going on here with the Chinese Communist Party and this their financial relationship with America?
Well, Jack, you're absolutely right. There's stock traders who make a lot of money with your kind of insight there. The idea that the probability of Trump being back in the White House rises, so too does the probability that tariffs, investment restrictions, and other things on China will significantly escalate. Because the one thing we learned repeatedly when I was in the White House with Donald Trump was that the Chinese simply do not keep their word, and they just keep engaging in the kind of economic aggression they were doing when I got in the White House in 2017. It's the intellectual property theft, it's the state-owned enterprise subsidies, it's screwing around with their currency, it's putting fentanyl across our borders. There's a whole slew of things designed to assist their economy at the expense of ours. And by the way, you know, companies like Apple and Tesla are now learning at the front lines that, hey, you're just there temporarily. China taking your technology, and they're going to eventually take your factories. You're going to get your ass kicked out. So here's what's more broadly happening, the reason for Communist China's decline. Xi Jinping is being taken at his word by countries and CEOs around the world that you can't do business without extreme risk in China. Japan, which is now booming, this is interesting, Jack. Japan for a while went both feet into Communist China with all sorts of investment, but they got burned repeatedly, and now at the governmental level, they spend billions and billions and billions
of yen offering rewards to any company that's operating in China that comes home to soil. So their stock market's booming. What's happening is there's a steady disinvestment from China, lesser amounts of capital going in, and that's creating significant imbalances. Their whole economic model is predicated on export dependency, and people are buying less Chinese products because people are getting hip to the idea of produce at home, buy it elsewhere as well. So, and then, of course, you've got the Chinese communist control of their economy, which doesn't really work efficiently, and you have this big bubble in their real estate market. It's a huge bubble there. You've got Chinese companies themselves, which are being threatened by the Communist Chinese Party, and they'll periodically lose stock value. I mean, all the tech companies, Xi Jinping scared to death of the tech entrepreneurs there, that they're going to somehow help foment some kind of rebellion against him. I mean, it's not paranoia. I mean, look at what Zuckerberg did here in America to Donald Trump. So,
well, certainly he sees the vulnerability that they did to Trump. And this is kind of one of the other pieces I wanted to check as well, because people are saying that the, you know, essentially that the liquidity in China is lower because their central bank didn't pump their numbers, didn't juice their numbers as much as ours did. And this was a key, this had been a key refrain of all of 2023 of Bidenflation. Oh, but you know, we knew the Bidenflation was going up. We knew it was high when it was shooting through the roof. Now the question is, does it seem like, and you know, call me crazy for having this thesis. My thesis, though, looking at all of this, and I said, we got to get Navarro on because he's the expert. I'm just a guy who's looking at it from a lens of someone who studied China. It seems almost like, is Xi Jinping trying to help Biden by cooling off the Chinese economy to help the United States try to get through this Bidenflation situation?
Well, certainly if the currency of China weakens, that's going to make it easier for them to sell products to the U.S. But on the other hand, if they stabilize it, it's less bleeding for the U.S. I'm with respect to the relationship between the two, I'm more concerned, Jack, about the coming kind of disruptions to our election that the communist Chinese are likely to do. I mean, the ultimate disruption in the 2020 race may well turn out to be, and we get more and more information daily, was the virus that came to our shores, the communist Chinese virus from a bioweapons lab. I think there were people at the very beginning, including me, Bannon, maybe you, certainly Miles Guo, who thought that virus came precisely to destabilize the U.S. and take Donald Trump out. So I guess your point is really an important one, because we should never underestimate the chicanery of the communist Chinese and in their ways of trying to stop Donald Trump. It's not about helping Biden. It's about stopping Donald Trump. And that means helping Joe Biden. So that's kind of, I mean, the other thing I'd say here, Jack, I wrote a piece in the Washington Times. They have a weekly column there about how, it was out yesterday, that how if Xi and Putin, Kim Jong-un, and the mullahs of Iran all sat down in a room plotting how to destroy America, we'd pretty much see exactly what we're seeing today, like a war in Ukraine to drain our arsenal and our money. We see then as the second step, the Hamas kind of be the proxy for Iran, and then Hezbollah come up and destabilize things there, and that drains more of our resources and stretches our fleets and troops out. And then Xi masses to go across the Taiwan Strait at a time where our arsenal of democracy is empty. And our fleets are stretched out all over the globe. I mean, and meanwhile, Kim Jong-un's making a ton of money selling weapons to Russia because their stockpiles are low. And he's like, I mean, I'm telling you, elections have consequences, Jack. Kim Jong-un is like having a field day flying up his missiles, practicing to hit Seattle, Chicago, maybe even New York and Washington. That never would have happened under Donald Trump. In fact, he stopped it. In fact, I flew with the president to the DMZ the day he met Kim Jong-un, the rocket man, and the rocket man kept his rockets in his pants the whole friggin' time that Donald Trump was in office, and now they're flying all over the world. So let's not ever
sales too, by the way, those
communist China.
No, I was going to say those cheap you know, those cheap North Korean weapons. I mean, he's usually selling them to like African dictators and warlords because they're the only people that want to buy them. But hey, now Ukraine has created this massive bonanza for North Korea because, hey, great, we get to sell to directly to the Russian military. Peter, just about 1.5 minutes left, 90 seconds. Where can people go to track everything that you're up to? And what should people be focused on in terms of all of this as we go forward throughout the election?
Sure, Jack. It's all about my Substack, peternavarro.substack.com. It's peternavarro.substack.com. Please go there,
checking out. I do three columns a week, one of which appears in the Washington Times. I urge you to read that newspaper. Basically, peternavarro.substack.com is all about everything Trump 2024. It's all about everything, how communist China is trying to destroy us. And on Fridays, I come out with a market and economy wrap to help the folks in MAGA think about how to preserve their wealth and protect their job. So peternavarro.substack.com. It's just a pleasure to be on your show, Jag. And like I said at the outset, you and Charlie and Human Events, you just keep doing what you're doing. Cream is rising to the top, sir.
Well, Peter, I really appreciate that. You know, for someone who's been in the administration, someone who understood the power of American tariffs to help the American worker, to help rebuild this country, that's high words of praise from someone who's been there and someone who I expect will be there again in about 1 year's time. God bless Peter Navarro, everyone. The deep state is trying to take him down. Someone else the deep state is trying to take out, Mark Stein. A lawsuit between him over global warming, 10 years in the making. See what's going on coming up next.
Jack, where is Jack? Where is Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack. Thank you. What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys. And these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers.
All right, Jack Pasovic back here live, Human Events Daily. ClimateGate is on trial in Washington, D.C. Now, for people who were members of sort of the conservative blogosphere or conservative media world from all the way back, we're talking like 12, 13 years ago, ClimateGate, this Michael Mann, the hockey stick graph, Penn State, this was a huge thing, massive controversy. There was a lawsuit filed over this, and this is the hockey stick graph. We're showing it right now, featured prominently. This is back when they used to call it global warming. This is back before they called it climate change. It's when Al Gore was running around. That the guy who made this, Michael Mann, a professor, Penn State University, sued Mark Stein over this. Mark Stein now is in Washington, D.C. on trial representing himself against Michael Mann. Daniel Turner from Power the Future joins us to break all of this down. Daniel, it's incredible that one of these things has actually gone to trial. I wish it was streaming because I find this absolutely fascinating. Break down, people, kind of just real quickly, what the trial is about, how important it is.
Yeah, this is a defamation trial. It's not about climate change. Obviously, all of these things play into it. But it is a defamation trial. It does raise a lot of free speech questions. Are you allowed to criticize scientists? Are you allowed to question their methodology? And this goes back, we're talking more than almost 30 years here. These initial conversations that led to the hockey stick, the gathering of this data by Michael Mann and by other climate scientists, this happened in the early to mid 1990s. And so when it was finally published in 1998, the hockey stick, which really shows that the world's temperature has been steady for around 1900 years. And it was really in the beginning of the 1800s, 1850s, fossil fuels came on the scene, that the temperature started to escalate. This graph became the foundation of the entire climate movement. This is the holy grail of climate change. It shows unequivocally, right? It shows without doubt that mankind is causing climate change. The problem
is
that years
later, independence.
Exactly. Oh, this is everything, right? This is the undeniable proof that we are causing climate change. Our human actions, fossil fuels are. The problem is that a decade later, ClimateGate is the leaking of these emails. I want to make something really clear. Michael Mann and the environmental left will say it was a hack. They will say it was a theft. They will say it was a data breach. That's all a lie. These emails were leaked deliberately and strategically by someone who was part of the process, because they knew that this was a huge cover-up. They knew they had, and they released thousands of emails, and that's where you find phrases like, hide the decline. You find Michael Mann telling people, hey, all of those tree ring databases, they don't help, get rid of them, right? You find that they picked and choose As anyone who has taken a statistics class knows, you can pick and choose data if you want a concrete result. They wanted a result that had the hockey stick taking off.
That graph, and for those who can't see it on TV, let's show it up again, guys. This goes back to like the year 1000 AD. We didn't have, you know, scientific data, or, you know, we didn't have thermometers and instruments and sensors back then like we do now. This goes all the way back to 1000 AD. So what Daniel's saying about these tree cores and ice rings, we have some trace data that maybe indicates a range of what the temperature could potentially have been, but this is a model. The best way to look at this is a model that was created by Michael Mann. Then the emails get dropped in 2009. Your contention that it was a leak, because no hack has ever actually been proven, similar to something that happened in 2016. But, you know, we'll save that for another day. At a place that had a very interesting pipe. Something about that building. You know, is there a fake pipe bomb? There's a fake hack. I don't know. You know, something always seems to happen around there. I just don't know why that is.
Yeah.
So these emails come out 2009. Steve McIntyre is a huge climate audit, was a huge proponent of this at the time. And they just blow the whole thing up. They just completely blow the whole thing up. So
and we find
that there's like warm periods that gets to, that like in the medieval times, or, you know, Vikings growing grapes in Greenland and these types of things are just gone. It's just totally gone.
Yeah, and these are what the emails reveal. You see these exchanges from Michael Mann saying, hey, tell Jack to get rid of all of that data. Tell him to get rid of those tree ring samples, right? That's not helping the cause. You see there's a deliberate manipulation to get the results that they want. That's what ClimateGate is. So that's where Mark Stein now jumps in. Mark Stein and a lot of climate skeptics. Remember, Rush Limbaugh was big on this back in the day. May he rest in peace. This is when a lot of people who realized, we're not buying all the climate change stuff. This was the first bit of evidence that science has been manipulated for political ends. So Mark Stein wrote about this, and this is where the defamation case comes in. Michael Mann says that he damaged his reputation as a scientist. He damaged his reputation as amongst his peers. But this, again, 2009, it's 2024. It's taken 15 some odd years to bring this case to trial. I am sure that the goal of the left, which is very well funded, the goal is hoping that people like Mark Stein will eventually give up. How much do lawyers cost for 15 years? But Mark Stein, much to his credit, was relentless. He was not going to get told to settle out of court because he knew he had the truth on his side. So Mark Stein deserves an awful lot of credit.
Well, I think it really does, and I'd love to get him on when it's all done. You know, there are cameras in this thing, but you can't stream it because of court rules. So I hope that he gets a record of this, at least for himself, and is able to release some of it, because I was able to see a little piece of it. He's representing himself, and he's putting the whole thing on trial, and he's walking through. And if I remember correctly, so I think one last thing I saw was that Michael Mann, the professor, was going to the case at one point last week. But as far as I saw for this week, look, I got a little busy. There's a little bit of an election last night, you may have heard. But he hadn't shown up at all in court this week. Do you know if he's made it back yet?
I don't know if he's made it back this week. He was there for opening arguments and jury selection. Mark Stein's opening arguments, you'd read the transcripts of, are absolutely masterful. He points out how Michael Mann is the very first scientist in history that the Nobel Prize Committee had to put out a letter saying, please stop telling people you're a Nobel Prize winning scientist because you're not. Michael, I mean, now that's some pretty stolen valor, right?
Amazing.
Like, that's not am I German? Am I not German? Elizabeth Warren, am I Native American? Am I not Native American? Right. To claim you're a Nobel Prize winner is pretty egregious when the Nobel Prize Committee has to come out and say, you need to stop telling people you won the Nobel Prize because you didn't. So Mark Stein laid all of this out in his opening arguments. And then Michael Mann has yet to return to the courthouse.
The other bit was about he called Stephen McIntyre a white nationalist. And then, of course, Mark Stein immediately responded with that by saying, so what you're doing is defamation of character to to Stephen McIntyre, this, of course, is exactly what your complaint is about. You are doing the same thing that we are in this courtroom debating whether I've done to you, as you're doing it to anybody who would dare take the stand against you. It's incredible. And, and my question, of course, you know, the fact that it's a DC jury, I don't know, right? The, you know, you never really know with the DC jury.
And it's remarkable that the case is in D.C. because this didn't happen in D.C. Neither of these two gentlemen live in Washington, D.C. And so you can tell the manipulation of the courts to try to bias it in one way or another. There's one point, though, that I think is important, that it may be working to Mark's advantage that this is happening now and not 5 years ago, 6 years ago, because what's fresh on the Americans' mind is how science is manipulated for political purposes. And of course, I'm talking about COVID. There is a jury pool that is now accustomed to scientists lying and lying about their data, falsifying their data because they want a political result. And those of us who have been in the green movement, the climate movement, the fossil fuel movement, we've known this for decades. This is how they operate. But now a lot of Americans are waking up to the fact that climate scientists or immunologists can lie if they have a political agenda.
That's such a good point. We've got to take a quick break here, but I think you're right. Had this case actually come to trial 15 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, I don't think the jury would have been primed to hear it, because they, you know, scientists would never lie. Scientists always tell the truth. An expert always tells the truth. Well, guess what? Now, after COVID, we might just finally be able to break the back of that beast. Daniel Turner joins us next. The Climate Gate trial ongoing, Washington, D.C.
Long hours. I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Washington, D.C. Across town from where I sit right now, the climate change trial. You know, really the global warming trial of the century is going on. And Daniel Turner is our guest from Power of the Future. Daniel, the media isn't really talking about this one, are they? You know, it's amazing, by the way, for the way the hockey stick graph was promoted and portrayed everywhere. It's in an inconvenient truth. Where's Al Gore? Where's anyone? Nobody wants to talk about this trial. I got a message the other day from a friend of mine who, you know, was a follower of one of the blogs that was covering it. I was like, wait a minute, why is nobody talking about this trial?
Yeah, it's a great point. Just equally interesting factoid about this case. A number of media outlets have filed amicus briefs, all siding with Mark Stein, because they realize what this means in terms of covering science, in terms of covering stories. If you're allowed to sue someone for defamation because they're questioning your scientific method, that raises a lot of questions. Amicus briefs filed to defend Michael Mann, not one scientist has come to defense. None of the IPCC scientists have written an amicus brief. All the people who built the hockey stick, no one has come to his defense. So it seems that there's a lot of evidence that the folks who built the hockey stick graph know that it's a load of junk. They know it's junk science. They know it's meant for activism. And that's why this case is so important, because an unraveling will begin to happen. And unraveling's already happening, right? We've seen 3 years of Joe Biden's green energy policies and how have they worked. We look at what's happening in the Middle East and Europe because of oil and gas. So the unraveling is happening, but to have the scientific foundation of climate change unravel will be huge.
Right, and it's classic too, because, you know, this is the reason Greta's over in Germany right now. She's popping off. This is a reason that they never like to actually talk about the data. This is the same way that when you saw those Fauci emails come out in the lawsuit, I think it was the Missouri lawsuit, where suddenly you see him saying, well, we can't let the lab leak theory get out there. We can't let anyone talk about that. We need to conduct a campaign to get rid of that. They got rid of the lab leak theory the same way they got rid of the data that showed that the climate change model that they were working on was not accurate. They said, that's inconvenient data. We need to get rid of that. This medieval warming period, this, I keep going back to it. The fact that the Vikings used to be growing grapes in Greenland. Greenland, in Greenland, which covered in a sheet of ice right now, had at a time that we know, it, you know, go back to 1000 AD. Okay, it's like that. That's very interesting that you have all the ice cores and everything else. But again, they claimed that they were doing this. We have their writings. These are very accurate. There's multiple sources. So explain to us why none of that is present in any of your data.
Yeah, and anyone who has done statistics or has done any sort of even polling work, you know you can manipulate data to get a desired result, and it questions the integrity of the people behind it. But again, a point I really want to emphasize is we've lived through the manipulation of science. It's why I get very angry when I do town halls, and I do admit sometimes I get angry when I do town halls and someone jumps on that. Well, the scientists say, you know what? How much more do we have to hear from scientists? Look at the science of dying with COVID and dying from COVID. Look at the science that they told us, if you stand up, you have to put your mask on, but if you sit down, you can take your mask off, right? That was science. Look at the science that questions, is red wine good for you? Is butter good for you? Is coffee good for you? Is meat good for you? Anyone who's of a certain age remembers the margarine craze of the 80s and 90s, because we were all told butter is terrible for you, right? Are eggs good for you? I can find you studies that say eggs are good for you, and I can find you studies that say eggs are bad for you. So spare me this lie that we don't manipulate science for a political outcome. We've always manipulated science for a political outcome, and we trust our institutions to navigate those waters for us. But when institutions like the American Medical Association, remember this one, when they said not only did the BLM riots not spread COVID, but it actually helped reduce the rate of COVID. And you scratch your head and say, well, that doesn't seem to make a lot of scientific sense. That's the manipulation of science for political ends. And it's done so much institutional damage. It makes us doubt science. It makes us doubt institutions like Penn State, like the American Medical Association. And Dr. Mann has a lot to attest for if this trial goes the right way.
That's right. And I know Stephen McIntyre. I want to give a shout out because I know Stephen McIntyre has been covering this. I'm not sure if he was even able to testify. I know there was some controversy over that, about even allowing him to be able to testify, because same guy's been absolutely right on COVID too, funny enough. So you take all of this together, and it's this is the same thing anytime you have somebody on the left who actually comes up against a well-informed person on the right, they wither. They absolutely wither because they never seem to actually have the facts on their side.
Yeah. And they have to shut you down, right? They either have to use defamation lawsuits.
Right.
Again, these are millions of dollars in lawsuits. Or they have to, you know, get Google to shut you down. They have to get Facebook to have you deplatformed. Back in the day, they would get you kicked off of Twitter or you would shadow banned. Hopefully those days are gone on that platform. But this is how they control the narrative. If you present an opposing point of view, something as crazy as, like, is hydroxychloroquine really horse dewormer? That's it. You're deplatformed, manipulating science. So remember these things when someone says, well, you know, the scientists say climate change is real. Experts agree. It's the same as 4 out of 5 dentists tell you that this is the right toothpaste, right? It is data. It is data sets. It's statistics. It's not science.
Precisely.
And they're trying to either sell you a product or they're trying to shut you up.
Coming from sales. I want to give a shout out to Phelan McLear and who is doing this? They're doing and Anne McElhaney, and they're doing Climate Change on Trial. So if anyone wants to go check that out, Climate Change on Trial, they actually hired actors and they're doing reenactments of the transcripts of the trial on a regular basis. I haven't had time to listen to it because of the election and New Hampshire and everything else that's going on. Nimrata is trying to get in there. The Globalist would love to have her in, of course, but go check out Climate Change on Trial. These are the same guys who did My Son Hunter. Daniel Turner, where can people go to follow you?
PowerTheFuture.com. Always great to be on with you, Jack. Thanks for having me.
God bless, man. Really appreciate it. Look, folks, we're not falling for the psyops. I want to make sure, by the way, that everybody knows that the things that Rush would be covering, we are going to make sure that we're going to ride them all the way to the end. This case is on trial. We're not going to let it go. Nikki Haley, PSYOPs, we're not going to let go of them either. See you in the Escalade, Nikki. Or was it an SRX? I can't recall. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission.